This is CICK News.
Spring has officially sprung in the Skeena region, and as bears are out of hibernation, they're looking for food right now. Spottings of the mystical Kermode or spirit bear have piqued the interest of many travelers along Highway 16 in Terrace and Kitimat, but Sergeant Neller is on the news to discuss what is safe and unsafe behavior when you're tempted to get a picture of bears. Kermode bears are a subspecies of the American black bear. A small portion of the population carry a gene that results in the iconic white or cream-colored coat. They habituate in the dense, lush coastal rainforests near Kitimat and even further east, closer to Terrace, along the Skeena River.
Yeah, my name is Micah Neller. I'm the sergeant for the Conservation Officer Service in Terrace.
Okay, great. So bears are awake, and this is the typical time of year where they are looking for food. Are you getting a lot of reports about that?
Yeah, the Conservation Officer Service, we're seeing an uptick in bear conflict complaints in pretty much all municipalities and habited areas by people. It's pretty normal this time of year with bears coming out of hibernation. They're just looking for food.
Have there been more Kermode bear sightings this year?
Well, every year there's a few sightings. Kermode bears are fairly rare, so when one is sighted, it usually becomes point of interest for people, and people become curious and they want to go out and have a look at the bears.
I understand why people are so interested in the Kermode bear, but is there a safe way that you would say that people can snap their photo of it? And I guess what are like the inherent dangers of if they're trying to be too adventurous, either on the highway or potentially on their own property?
Yeah, like we would rather not see people seeking out the bear, especially the bears, especially on the highway. People stopping on the highway causes a highway traffic hazard. As well, if people spend too much time on the highways, you can habituate the bears to vehicles, and then we put the bears in danger of being hit on the highway at some point. From what we've seen is if there's bears hanging around on the highways, either people become careless with their attractants or some people make the decision to actually put attractants down so they can get pictures of the bears, which is absolutely what we do not want to see happen.
Officer Neller, when is it time to call a conservation officer?
Yeah, what we'd like to see is if you do see a bear, any bear, Kermode or any bear under the roadway, and you make the decision to stop and take your picture, well, stop, take your picture, stay in your vehicle, leave your window rolled up and move on. And then as far as when it's time to call the Conservation Officer Service, if people are seeing behavior from other people or bears or wildlife that, you know, they're concerned with, they can phone our RAPLINE number at 1-877-952-7277. And our officers will make the decision on how we basically triage the calls and make the decision on how we respond to them. So if it's not something that's really concerning for us, we may not respond to it. But definitely if the complaints involve people feeding bears on the roadway, we will definitely be responding to that, following up with the complaints as well.
Do you roughly know the amount of bear sightings that you've had in the Terrace Kitimat area this year?
Kitimat's seems to be, there's more bear activity in Kitimat than the other communities, and that's just a factor of where Kitimat is located. I can't really say an exact number, but the public can count on there's more bears around in the spring, obviously, because they're waking up from hibernation and they're wandering around trying to find food. And when they find, you know, attractants, food, human food, garbage, whatnot, they tend to hold in those areas, especially if they're able to access it. And we'd like to see people just have a general respect for wildlife. And if you see it on the highway, when I understand people are curious and they want to snap some pictures, and that's fine. I'll make sure where you're pulling off or whatnot is in a safe spot. But we definitely don't want to see people getting out of their vehicles and trying to approach the bears and yelling at them and tossing things to them, which affects their behavior. The bears are just feeding right now because they're trying to put some weight back on after losing it over the winter. So, you know, which is natural for them to be feeding on all this green matter that's growing right now. But what we're seeing is people exiting their vehicles and approaching them and trying to get these pictures of them. They yell at them or holler at them or toss things to them to try and get them to move or hold in one spot and that sort of thing. And you know, the end result of that is never good for the bear. And that's what our concern is at this point. Well, that starts by people just respecting the bears and respecting their space and snapping their photos and moving on, staying in their vehicles.
A provincial funding source nearly 30 years running in BC has paused operations this week, leaving educators in the Skeena region scrambling to find funding for arts programming for the next school year. These programs had been funded by the BC Arts Council and were administered by a program called Art Starts in Schools. Art Starts in Schools has provided funding for arts projects in British Columbia, including those within the School District 54, for 29 years. The grants, known as Artists in the Classroom and Arts in Education, can be used for a variety of artistic disciplines and curriculum connections, and are typically awarded to projects that involve a combination of an artist, a school representative, and student participation. This week, educators across the province were informed that Art Starts would be pausing all operations immediately, and that this school year would be used to process invoices, but that all programs and staff were unavailable henceforth. When times are lean, arts and non-core curriculum programming are at the top of the list of programs to axe from a budgetary point of view. But Art Starts is provincial funding from an initiative that started in 1996. Michael McDermott is superintendent of School District 54 from Hazleton to Houston. I caught him yesterday to speak about what's reflected in a budget with line items and what's really at stake of disappearing in our schools with the loss of Art Starts in Schools funding.
Well, it's fair to say that the Art Starts program has brought a whole variety of artists and types of art forms to rural communities that otherwise wouldn't have been there. It's an impossibility, really, to organize those kind of programs with existing personnel and funding. So they've been operating alongside of us all along, and without that extra bit, I'm afraid that kind of support for kids programming will disappear, period.
And so what's the school board's responsibility to help educators seek out funding for special projects that are just outside of the scope of the budget of the school district?
Obviously, we have a pretty specific mandate to deliver our curriculum, the BC curriculum, within schools. Obviously, fine arts, there is a fine arts curriculum, but things like Art Starts, I think, enhance that educational experience and inspire kids and expose them to new ideas and new ways of looking at the world. And it's that extra piece, that extra layer, which I don't think will happen without this funding. And it's beyond our mandate. I'm sure there'll be individual teachers or individual school principals that will want to pursue maybe grants, but that will really come at the expense of their time outside of our work. So it will be a lot of work for some people if they want to try and maintain some of this programming, for sure.
Yeah. You were mentioning about you're working on your budget right now for next year.
Yeah. People would have heard that we're in the process of passing a budget, which is legally required to be balanced, which it is. But the proposed budget for next school year will have some reductions across the board. And so Art Starts is similar in the sense that there are a lot of things that are going on pause right now because of the financial situation in the province, I think.
Do you want to say what some of those...
Sure. So some of the reductions we're proposing, obviously we're trying to minimize the impact on students as much as possible. So funding and support has been reduced in teacher time across several schools, support staff time across several schools, a reduction in administrative time in the district, and even things operating budgets, slight decreases there. Really, it's, I guess I would call it an austerity budget.
You had mentioned that the claim will be that school budgets have never been better, but that it's not keeping up with inflation. But music, art, sports, is that where you're seeing the first hits are coming?
We tend to focus on our core programming when times are tough. And you're right, oftentimes it'll be things on the periphery that will face the first kind of reductions. And we'll focus more on our core operations. So that's true. And yes, and I can say that, yes, funding has increased in the system, but certainly I don't feel that it's kept up with inflation. And most superintendents in the province will tell you that. So no, it's not a reduction per se, but it's certainly not keeping up with our costs.
Who do you feel is taking the brunt of this effect?
I think that reductions in general, as I said, we're trying to protect services for kids. it may be that there are reductions in some services. If we have fewer CUPE staff to support individual kids, if class sizes increase slightly because of teacher reductions, will there be an impact on kids? There could be. We're hoping to make it as small as possible and not noticeable in certain schools or certain sites, but spreading it around. And hopefully there's a return to normal funding soon. So hopefully if this is the case, it won't last for much longer.
Thank you to SD54 Superintendent Mike McDermott for taking the time to speak with me. Heather Lytle is in her last year as the Smithers Secondary School drama teacher and has made a massive impact on the community's theater scene. I spoke to Heather about her history with Art Starts funding and the impact of introducing students to artistic disciplines that they otherwise would not have been exposed to.
What you were able to do when you could access Art Starts funding?
I do remember that when I first started working in this district, we used to have enough Art Starts funding that we brought in about 6 performances a year. It was really fantastic. It was probably every 5 or 6 weeks we would have another group in. It was often multicultural. There were often performers from all over the world showcasing different art forms, different music forms, theater, different puppetry, all kinds of things. Yeah. And slowly over the years, it pared down to 5 and then 4 and then 3 and 2. And then pretty soon there were none. And COVID was really the time when it started to become really challenging to access the funding and or the artists and events, and became really challenging. And that was Arts and Education, which okay. ran through Art Starts. And then there's another, or has been another whole component of Art Starts, which is Artists in the Classrooms. This is more a working with an artist in your classroom. So I've accessed that many times. It has been somewhat of an easier process if you're wanting to access an artist that they have on their roster, and there are many to pick from. You can make a pitch to work with somebody else.
So what is the effect that you've seen when you're introducing students to maybe an art form like puppetry, or something that maybe they've not seen taken seriously before, or something that's just outside of their realm of what they've experienced so far? What do you see that turn on or click for some students?
I think so often there are young people out there that don't even know that this is a thing, and more importantly, a thing that engages or excites something in them. And so it's a matter of being exposed to it. And then you see people that just go off in directions of passion and interest, and skill and talent, just simply because they were exposed mm-hmm. to something. Yeah.
When I've brought up what I've been able to gather about Art Starts funding, which is pausing operations, no one has seemed surprised by this. What do you see as the cause of something that an organization, a provincial organization that's been in business since 1996, mm-hmm. having to suddenly pause their operations? What do you feel like as an educator that you can see that maybe, that myself, not as an educator, someone who's not in the school, that I'm not seeing?
I think it has been coming for a long time. Like I said, I've seen it shrink from a really big, wonderful thing that happened at one time to less and less that was available. And then on the flip side, more and more challenging to access or mm-hmm. to get grant funding with. I've also, just having worked with the organization over the last few years, I know there's been a really high turnover of staff there. And I'm not sure what that is, but that's always made all the grant form process more challenging because there's always somebody new on that end. Yeah, I couldn't really say why. As an arts educator and someone who believes passionately in what arts does for young people, building empathy and worldview, just understanding humans around the world and what we do and what we have. It's really sad to see less and less access to it. Yeah. And it's hard as well to go out and to bring kids to stuff because travel is more expensive, accommodations are more expensive.
Yeah.
So it's becoming a challenging thing to also access outside of here. But always easier when we can bring people in because it's available to more students when we bring people in.
Mm-hmm. Have you been involved in that you have been able to access that funding?
I've participated in a few ways. One is just writing my own grants to try and bring people into my classroom. Another way was on behalf of the district to bring people in. Unfortunately, started doing that with the district right when COVID happened, and then we stopped bringing people. And then it was really slow to get back on its feet. And sometimes it's easy to get disheartened with the processes and how challenging that can be. It sometimes has been easier to just make my own connections and meet people and just bring them on our own dime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you're scrappier than people give you credit for. Okay. Thanks for talking to me about this.
I reached out to Art Starts and received an automatic reply that stated, "We regret to inform you that Art Starts has made the difficult decision to pause our operations, effective at the end of June 2025. We know that services like grant delivery, artistic directory, the booking and touring service, and the Art Starts Showcase have been a valued resource for students, artists, and educators for the last 29 years, and we recognize that this news of a pause in our service may be disappointing. It has become increasingly difficult to maintain the scale of operations. We hope to refocus our organization, and we remain hopeful and optimistic for the future of Art Starts and our work supporting schools and artists across the province. As a result, the Art Starts Board has made some difficult decisions, including pausing current operations while we restructure the future of our organization. As this funding impacts more than just the local school district, I reached out to Coast Mountain School District 82, which includes schools in Kitimat, Kitwanga, Hazelton, Stewart, and Terrace, but they declined to comment at this moment. I also reached out to Art Starts Executive Director, who is not available at this time to comment. CSK News is funded by the Government of Canada, the Community Radio Fund of Canada, and is a participating station in the Local Journalism Initiative. On behalf of my colleague Dan Messick and myself, Pam Hassan, thanks for listening.